Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This episode very well might be the most important one I've ever done. I'm super excited for you to listen to it. I don't want to give away too much yet, but suffice to say, it went very differently than I expected. I got on the phone with Kim. I was very excited to speak with her because she's had a tremendous transformation. But what ended up happening was through discussing and through talking, we found out that she has a lot of underlying issues, especially related to the scale, number one, and how that affects her emotionally, and also a lot of over-exercising and a lot of being overly meticulous with her nutrition and everything to the point where it consumes her life. So I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do, please leave a rating on iTunes. Thank you to everyone who's done that so far. It's been ridiculously helpful. Seriously, thank you so much. And also a quick reminder, if you want to sign up for the Calorie Cycling for Fat Loss 30-Day Challenge, just go to jordansyatt.com, J-O-R-D-A-N-S-Y-A-T-T. You can sign up for that until November 12th. All right, enjoy the episode.
See you. Am I supposed to be able to see you?
All right, you know what? I'll put my video on so it's fair, okay?
Oh, I know if I'm supposed to be able to see you or not.
How are you?
Telling you, I feel old. I feel old.
Why? Because you didn't have Skype and you had to figure out.
Because I didn't have Skype. Couldn't figure out how to make it work. Is there a way to, how do I adjust the volume? Let me see. Same way on my laptop? There it is. Hold on.
You don't use your laptop very often, do you?
Can you tell?
where's the volume knob on this thing?
Don't make it worse.
Where's the volume knob on this
thing? Don't make it worse. All right.
They used to make TVs much different. Well, listen, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I want to clarify from the very beginning for everybody listening. Usually when I speak with people on my podcast, it's with an Inner Circle member. Kim is not an Inner Circle member, and I want to make that clear. But she has a remarkable story, and I don't even know the ins and outs of it, all of it. I know what Kim told me via Instagram and what she showed me, and an absolutely tremendous story. And for me, one of the reasons that I started this podcast is to be able to, in one sense, to be able to help people work through any struggles they're having, right? So that's sometimes I speak with Inner Circle members when they're struggling with something, when they're struggling with dieting, when they're struggling with mindset, when they're struggling with consistency, when they're struggling with training, whatever it is. And I like to help people through that process. Another aspect of why I started this podcast is to be able to share stories of people who have done the seemingly impossible, who have completely transformed their life, not to brag and not to make people feel bad, but to show people that if you're in a place in which you feel like you might not be able to succeed, you're not alone, and you can. And it's one thing for me to say it, it's another thing for someone else to say it who's actually been through it, and that's why I'm very excited to speak with you, Kim, because I don't want to put any words in your mouth. I sort of want you to just to talk. And I think what I'll do is I might interject here and there, and I might ask questions just to dig a little bit deeper. But I really want you to just introduce yourself, say where you're from. And keeping in mind, like, I mean, this is the first time I've ever spoken to you. Yeah. So, like, just speak with me. Just, like, tell me about who you are, where you're from, like what, like where you, how you grew up, what happened, and then what sparked your change, and just word vomit. Let's just talk.
Okay. Well, I am, gosh, I'm 38. I have two amazing kids. Going back, I mean, I was giving this some thought because I knew I was going to be speaking with you, and I am someone who I have struggled with. And I hate to say the word struggle. So I've dealt with weight gain and loss probably from the better part of my adult life. Growing up, I was fine. Into my teens, I was fine. Never struggled, never an issue. But I'm someone who has gained weight in just about every life event that I've experienced. So I know this is super common, right? You get into a relationship, you get comfortable, you gain a little weight. So it happened when I met my husband. I lost the weight for the wedding. Awesome. Come home from the honeymoon, gained the weight. Lost it again. Got pregnant. gained. And each time I gained, it was plus 10, right? So you start out, you gain 30, then 40, then 50, then 60. So I've been doing this for, you know, as long as I've been an adult. And I don't, the reason I don't like to say struggle is because every time I've decided that I'm done, right? So I'm done, I've lost quickly. So if anybody in my family will tell you I've been the person who, and they're always shocked, I will shock people. I will be big at one family event and then show up at the next and people are like, wow, that's incredible. And I've always been able to do that, which is amazing. You know, I did it again this time. So this was, you know, I had my daughter, she's a year and a half now. I gained 60 pounds in that pregnancy, which I'm, you know, I'm fine with. It's part of what happens, right? I gained even more over the course of her first year. And then I hit that point again where I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And it's been probably 7 months now of a lot of hard work. I'm back down. I weigh about what I did on my wedding day, which is something I never thought I would accomplish again.
Would you mind sharing where you were at your heaviest and where you are now?
Yeah. Yeah. So at my heaviest, I was 205 pounds.
Okay.
Not pregnant. Right. So I feel like there's a big difference between like what you gain and what you weigh, you know, during a pregnancy and then just in life. Right. So, yeah. And that was with the life change of purchasing our first home. So we closed down the house. I was 130 pounds. Within a year, I was up to 205. Celebrating, relaxing, stressing, money, the house, you know, all those things. And that was my heaviest, not pregnant. It was 205.
And
so,
how long ago was that?
That was about 4 years ago.
And so between then and now, you've been through a number of ups and downs and ups and downs.
Yeah. So between then and now, I've had huge ups and downs. Not as drastic, I would say. I got back and we also struggled to conceive our daughter. So between that time, it was difficult because I was going through fertility stuff and that causes weight gain and all this other nonsense was going on with that. But I did get really fit. There was a time in there I started going back to the gym. I actually wound up becoming a group fitness instructor in that time. And it just, again, you know, then the pregnancy happened. So then I got pregnant and there I was.
Can I ask you, when you would be at a high, right? And then you would have a moment in which like you decide where you then like start losing a lot. What would happen in which you would start to reverse again? Like before we talk about how you'd start going down, what would happen when you'd start going up?
Yeah, it was always a life change. I've never been able to navigate major change successfully. So every time the scale started tipping back up and the habits would get lost, we bought the house, I got pregnant, you know, those things every time. So, you know, after I lost the weight, after my son was born, then I got, you know, I got pregnant again, and then it was every change, really.
Now, by change, yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of life change, more stress involved. Like, you don't have as much time to necessarily, like, to devote to your nutrition or your training. Is that what you mean by, like, big changes?
Yeah, I think that I would get in a really good routine. I feel like I'm someone who is just in that all or nothing person, right? So I am either 100% on point. I'm working out. I'm tracking my food. I can't do one of the things like with the, you know, oh, so you have one cookie I can't do that. I've never been able to successfully do that. I'm 100% on track or I'm 100% off track. And so what would happen would be things would happen that would put me in a position where I can't work out every single day or I can't, it's harder for me to track my food. I don't want to say I can't because I could have. I could have done it 6 days a week and not seven. I could have done it three and not seven, but I didn't. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to talk to you, because I have done this so many times. I don't want to do it again. Here I am 7 months later and I'm in a great place, but everything's been, you know, on an even line. So now I'm in this place where I'm like waiting for the shoe to drop. You know exactly what I'm saying, right?
I know exactly what you're saying. I'm very glad that you're bringing this up. I didn't expect this to be part of the conversation. I'm very excited to have this discussion. I think this is outrageously important, and I appreciate you being open and honest about it. So do me a favor and talk to me. I know is this the longest period of time that you've maintained your, like, the low?
Yeah.
7 months is the longest you've maintained your lowest weight?
I would say, without starting to tip back up, absolutely.
And how many days a week do you work out right now?
All of them.
Thank you for being honest. And are you tracking your calories meticulously?
Yep.
Okay. And let me ask you this. Do you feel like this is a sustainable lifestyle for the rest of your life without question?
No.
Okay. So what do you think needs to happen?
I need to start living my life outside of exercising and tracking my food. I need to find a way to be okay with not training every single day. I need to not be afraid that if I do stop training every single day, the wheels are going to come off and I'm going to be back to, I still have that because it is new. I still have that like thing where you wake up and you expect to be 170 pounds after you've had a bad meal, but you know, a quote unquote bad meal, or a binge, you know, like we talked about that. I think I sent you an Instagram note about that because that's what I'm struggling with now, is because I am in a place where, it's not sustainable. I've been in a deficit for 7 months and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being hungry. And I'm finding myself, the lower my weight has gotten, the more I'm binging, which I didn't see coming. And in my mind, I'm okay with it. In my mind, like, I'm not sure, like, it all makes sense to me. I know all the things. I just am having a hard time putting them into action, if that makes sense.
Of course. I mean, it's one of the most important concepts to understand. I mean, we could have all of the knowledge in the world, but just because we know it doesn't mean we're going to do what we need to do to actually make it happen. I mean, you could look at a carton of cigarettes and literally you have the skull and crossbones on it, and it's going to tell you that this could kill you, but we have people not only continuing to do it, but new people buying a cigarette every day. We have, you go to 10 people on the street, 10 people, and they all want to lose weight, for example. You show them an apple and a donut, and you say, which one is probably the healthier choice?
Right.
Everybody knows the apple's probably the healthier choice, the more nutritious choice. You go to the same 10 people and you say, hey, which one do you want? They're not all going to make the choice that they probably know is going to be the one that's better long run for their achieving their goals. So knowledge is a very important component, but it is absolutely not the only one. And the reality is, this fitness game it's emotional. And being human is emotional. I think one of the major mistakes that we make, especially I see it now a lot in politics, is people, they create this divide of either you are logical or you are emotional. And that's not how we work as humans. We are not either or. We are systems, and we often blend them together. And the key isn't to ignore one and to focus on the other. The key is to be able to figure out how to use both of them synergistically to create the best of both worlds. Now, I think what happens a lot with fitness and nutrition is people end up allowing their emotions to dictate their actions, and they allow their short-term emotional response to create allow a short-term emotional response to justify doing things that logically they know they shouldn't do.
Right.
And then once they do that, then oftentimes it creates another emotional response, which then leads to more actions that they know they shouldn't do. And this could be exercising every day, which we know probably is a fucking stupid idea. It could be something like binging, right? Which is, that's an emotional response, and it's one that is very impulsive and it's very difficult to control. It could be, a lot of people talk about, like, for example, eating very high sugar foods, and they talk about how, like, sugar is very addictive, and we could get in that whole argument about whether or not sugar is addictive, and it's a whole separate topic. But the reality is, when we allow our emotions to dictate our actions, that's when you get into deep, 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 deep trouble. And one of the reasons why, number one, I'm so glad you brought this up, but I'm even more glad and more impressed that you know, and you said your words, you need to stop exercising every day, and you need to figure out how to adjust your nutrition because you're already binging more. And you know, based on your patterns, that it will lead back to going back up again, which is, it's one of the reasons why I asked that. I asked specifically that question, not what happens when you go down. I wanted to know what happens when you go up, because you can identify it right there. So there's a lot of ways we can go from here, but I don't want to tell you outright what I think, because realistically, I don't know yet. I want to get to know you better. So, like, tell me more. Like, tell me more about what you're doing. What, like, are you tracking every day? You meticulously your calories. Tell me what you think might be the best option for you. Like, tell me. Just talk. Give me what's going on in your head right now.
All right. So let me start out by saying really where I started, because, you know, I didn't start out on day one training 7 days a week. I started pushing my daughter in the stroller. I started drinking more water. I started, eating a little bit less, really. And then slowly, as things started picking up, I was able to do a little bit more. The exercise initially, really for me, was a release from the anxiety and depression that I was experiencing. It was very hard for me to start, but once I did, it was like, this is exactly what I needed. I needed to move my body and it became the thing where I was like, I gotta do it every day, because it's what makes me feel good. It's what gives me, you know, just that, I don't know. And the more I started to do it, it was like an hour wasn't enough, you know what I mean? But that's how it started, was I struggled with being anxious. I struggled with being depressed. Initially in the beginning, it was, I had to push myself to go for the walk. I didn't want to go. I had to push myself onto the treadmill. I started running and walking, and then eventually did like the 5K. And I just ran a half marathon 2 weeks ago. From 7 months, you know, so it started small and it just kind of snowballed into where I'm at now, which is I'm not happy unless I clear 22 to 25,000 steps a day. I'm not happy with 10. It's gotta be 20. my food, I'm definitely, tracking, because I find that it gives me peace. If I don't pay really close attention, I don't know, I feel like things start to kind of unravel.
Explain that. Go more in depth on that.
Perfect example is I tried, because what I was finding in the beginning was the binges were happening right around my cycle, right? So which I embraced. I'm like, you know what? This is part of being a woman. This is what's gonna happen. And I was like, let's keep eating the same food, but let's just eat more of it. Let's not worry about X amount and getting these numbers in. I would do that, and it's almost like I don't get the feeling like, you say like, oh, well, I eat the cookie, so I might as well eat the box.
Yep.
It's not that. I don't feel that. I feel starving. I feel like my metabolism starts roaring the more that I eat, and like I just can't get full. And even if it's the good things, if I make a big bowl of my chicken, rice, and broccoli that I love, and I don't weigh it because I'm not going to worry about that today, I'll eat the chicken, rice, and broccoli, and I'll still be hungry. And I want to just keep on eating. And I don't know why that's different from, well, I ate X amount of macronutrients and that was all I had and I moved on, versus today I'm gonna let myself eat all of these. I'm gonna have all the rice and all the chicken and all the broccoli, and it's fine. But those are the times I feel like I just like I can't get full.
Can I ask you questions?
Yeah.
When, and I'm not trying to, like, when I say, can I ask you a question? I'm literally just very curious. I'm not trying to, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not, as much as I talk about Harry Potter and wizardry, I'm not a magician. When you mentioned how when you don't track your calories, like, you feel like things start to unravel. And I'm assuming, tell me if I'm wrong, that you feel a little bit of guilty or anxious when you're not tracking your calories. Is that part of it at all? Like, you don't feel... Do you not feel any anxiety or guilt for not tracking ever?
I don't feel anxious. I don't feel guilty.
So why do you track so meticulously if you don't have and where is that coming from?
That's a great question. I feel like at this point I'm like, well, I have this goal and I want to get to this goal, and so. And I've heard you talk about this before too. You pick this goal weight, and magically that number keeps getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And
well, let me ask you: why is 10,000 steps not enough?
Because the scale won't move.
So your number of steps, based the whether or not a number of steps is good enough is based on where your scale is.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's like I'm like pushing to this goal because I keep thinking that I'm gonna get there, and I know nothing's gonna change. You know what I mean?
So let's say you only hit 10,000. What do you feel? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel upset? Do you feel like what emotion comes with that?
I don't know. Like I do kind of feel like I didn't do enough that day. Like I do kind of feel like, oh, well, that was a lazy day. I guess, you know, I don't put a ton on it, but I feel like I feel like I did a good job. I had a good day and I was successful if I was active all day and did my 20,000 steps. Like I'll look at my Fitbit at the end of the night and be like, oh good, we had like a nice busy day.
And what, how many days a week do you think you hit that 20,000 plus?
Probably five. Probably six,
right? Yeah. That's the silent head nod that no one can hear. Yeah, probably closer to six. Now, I need you to be fully honest in order for this to, like, absolutely, like, fully transparent and honest for the
world. Yeah.
On the days that you don't hit it, does it affect your relationship with your family? Do you get more stressed or anxious with them? Do you get angry at, like, maybe, like, more stressed about having to go to certain events that, like, well, fuck, like, I have to do this, but, like, I wanted to get my steps in, but, like, I can't get my steps in because I got to do this? Like, in terms
I do that. Yeah, I definitely do that. I definitely will, you know, especially, like, with the weather and stuff. Like, I will look at the weekly forecast and be like, okay, so if – it's going to be nice, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, I have to make sure that I walk on those days, because then we'll do the things that can't be as active, you know, on these days because I can't walk anyway. Or if a friend will text me and be like, hey, you want to hang out? I'm like, oh, I needed to walk. I got to walk.
Got it. Okay. So a lot of your life is dictated by making sure you get these steps in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of my life right now is dictated by making sure that I get steps in, get a workout in, am around my food when I need to be around it. It is. It's completely revolving around it. I mean, if you ask my husband, he would say it's probably driving him crazy.
And how many days a week do you think that you, like, out of 7 days, are you at least counting your calories, like, out of 6 days, six out of seven?
Every day. Yeah, every day.
Got it. Okay, so to go back to the example before, where on the days where you happen to not track your calories and you feel ravenous, just to go back to that emotion, since every day you're tracking your calories and probably the days in which you don't do it are very few and far between, it's probably leading to a binge, right? When you're not actually, so when you're binging, I'm assuming you're not feeling happy with yourself when you're doing it. I'm assuming there's some form of guilt or anxiety with it. Like, why am I not full? Why am I continuing to eat when I don't want to continue to eat? Like, and those feelings are like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why can't I stop type of thing?
Yeah. Why can't I stop eating? Absolutely. And it always starts out innocent. It always starts out, and at first, you know, I was kind of trying, until I'm talking to you, trying to convince myself that, like, oh, well, we're going to do these. A lot of the ways that I broke some of the bad habits was really with trial and error, right? So it was like, let me see if this works for me, and I would take little pieces of all things that I learned and kind of put it together to make it work. And part of where I was trying to correct the binging was all starting out, like I said, really innocent. I would be, well, let me have a serving of pretzels. Let me weigh it and put it in a serving and eat the pretzels in a serving. And just yesterday I texted my husband and I said, guess what? I just ate one serving of pretzels, just one. And he's like, okay, that's awesome. Within an hour, I'm like, well, there it goes. I got the cookies, got the chips, got this, got that, finished the pretzels. Right? So
tell me why.
I don't know.
Did you feel guilty about eating the pretzels?
I've done this for like a month now, to where I messaged you on Instagram today to say I tracked my weight throughout the whole thing. Throughout three solid binges. One was like a 2 day, one was like a 4 day, and the other was just like a day and a half. It was so beneficial to me to see, and I know, like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, it's not that serious. You can eat for 4 days, and in a week things are back to normal. Why do you feel the need to eat and eat and eat and eat for 4 days? There's no reason for it, you know? So I don't know why I'm doing it, because
I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. This is like really a remarkable discussion. When you're starting to binge and you're starting to eat and you can feel it coming on, for when you had that serving of pretzels and you were super excited about it, I really want you to do your best to objectively put yourself in that situation to imagine what's going, not logically, this isn't logical, emotionally, what did you feel that led you to say, I'm going to go get more? And this is very difficult because it's hard to, number one, pinpoint that emotion, and it's hard to also be honest about it, but you need to really, like, what emotion did you have that you were like, fuck it, I'm gonna go get more?
I think part of it is I feel hungry. I fucking feel hungry. And I'm like, well, you know, I might as well just keep eating.
And
because
what about
I'm hungry.
when you binge, do you ever eat to the point where you're like, you're stuffed and so full?
100% of the time.
And you keep eating, even though you're stuffed? So what about that? So what about after the point where you're so full? What emotion are you having?
I usually then try to kind of like talk myself down where I'm like, you know, I remind myself it's not that serious. You'll feel better tomorrow. You did this. It's done. We move on.
So that's an interesting point. To get to a point in which when you finally stop the binge is when you finally acknowledge that you haven't fucked up.
That's true. Yeah.
The binge only stops when you can get to a point of clarity in which the emotional response has now subsided and you can say to yourself through the knowledge that you've gained, hey, I'm going to get back on track and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Up to that point, tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't think I'm wrong because I think I'm really good at this, that there is some, and to everyone listening, she is smiling and laughing right now, there is some level of, and the hunger is there, I believe the hunger is there, but there is some level of, fuck it.
Yeah.
I already ate it, I'm going to go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what it is? When you say it like that, it is, because what it is I know that I did the thing, and the next few days are going to be dedicated to undoing the thing. And so I might as well continue to eat, because we're not going to have it for a few days, because we got to push back down to where we feel good.
Now that is the most honest analysis of your actions that you've said thus far. That is exactly 100% right. When you start, you know from the moment you start, there's going to come a point in time in which you will not allow yourself to have another bite of any of that food for a certain period of time in which you, until you get back to where you consider baseline. And then, which means, well, listen, if I know I'm not going to eat any of these foods, then I might as well go fucking hog wild right now and eat, not just eat to the point where I'm full, but eat past the point full, because I'm going to eat as much of this food as I can because I know I'm not going to eat it for a while.
Yep.
This is
100%.
This, and I want to, number one, I want to thank you for being willing to recognize that. A lot of people are very defense, and there was some defense through this. There was some you're like not willing to really be, and if I don't know if you saw how I structured the conversation, but I went back and forth weaving and bobbing, trying to figure out, okay, when are we going to get to this? And I think the best part is the reason that you allowed yourself to really acknowledge the emotion is because you actually, you want the solution. Like, you're at a point where like you can't be. Like, you were like, I need to fix this. Like, this is, you were on the verge of going back up again. Like, you see the signs, you see the patterns, you don't like what's happening, you're binging more. In your heart, you know you shouldn't be exercising this much. In your heart, you know training and nutrition shouldn't be ruling your life this much. You would never recommend that your friend do as much as you're doing. You would never want your children to do as much as you're doing. You would never want your children to have this type of relationship with fitness. And so now you need to make a change. And I can see that and I can hear that. Is that like in your heart right now? Is that like, yes, like I need to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I need to get to a point where I have a healthy relationship with exercising and food and can just live, you know? It's the freedom around these things versus, you know, constantly dictating, you know, my life. I need to be dictating where they are. You know what I mean?
So what do you think? Where do you think you should start? Nutrition or exercise?
That's a great question. I honestly, I think I need to start with the nutrition.
Why?
because I feel like it's a bigger issue for me right now.
Okay.
And I feel like it was the last thing, the last piece. I don't know. I feel like the fitness is easy for me right now because I love it. And it's not something I feel like I ever have to do. It's become such a part of what it's my routine. I do it at this time and I can eventually, I'm sure, peel back. The nutrition's always been the struggle. It's always the hardest part. It's, you know, yeah, I think starting with maybe not being so meticulous about, I feel like maybe if I eat a little bit more, maybe I'll be less. Like I watched the YouTube video about the binge eating and I keep saying like, I need to do the thing where the breakfast, you were like, I just decided for my breakfast that I was going to eat whatever I wanted for breakfast, the biggest breakfast I could imagine. And you had said, because you overcame it years ago, that prevented the binge later in the afternoon.
Right.
So am I wrong to start with the nutrition first?
Nothing you've said is wrong. You could have chosen either one and neither one would be wrong. I was very interested to hear in your heart in a very open and honest moment for you what you thought was most important. And I think that you very accurately and honestly just told me and yourself why you need to start with nutrition. And I'm not going to tell you not to start with that. I think that it's a really great place to start. I do have a question for you. You weigh yourself every day, correct?
Yes.
Your eyebrows came up big, like, oh, yes, cool. So, and I know you mentioned earlier that the reason you take so many steps is because, like, it's specifically so that the scale will go down because you have that goal.
Yeah.
Do you think that you should be stepping on the scale every day? And if there's a lot of fear right now in your stomach or chest at the thought of not stepping, yeah, you're like, motherfucker, how does he know this shit? Honestly,
no, you know,
do you think that you need to step on the scale every day?
I don't know.
That's a fucking lie. You just don't want to say it. But you'll say it because you're being very honest. It just might take you a minute to get there.
I mean, for a long time, I didn't. In fact, when I started, I went 30 days. And I believe that it is the thing that kept me accountable and consistent for 30 days because I didn't allow myself to get on the scale and have it tell me I didn't do a good enough job.
Yep.
So for a month, I didn't step on the scale. And when I finally got on, it was awesome because even if it had been 8, whatever it was, I don't remember, but from that point, right, I then started weighing every single day. I got to tell you, though, I don't get upset. But what I think that I'm doing is I almost think that I am pushing the scale up. I think subconsciously, when I binge and I see the scale go up, I almost keep, like when I say I'll go 4 days on a binge, it's almost like because I haven't pushed it up high enough. This is going to sound insane, but when it gets to a number that it starts to freak me out, I rein it in so tight and I can, you know what I mean? So it's almost like I need that scale to tell me, whoa, you know, it's time to move. Like I'm almost using it as a motivating factor to get me to be accountable for longer, right? The higher the scale goes, the longer I have to be consistent to get it back down. If I were weighing in every single day after having, you know, a couple of off-plan things and it was just kind of doing this up a pound, you know, down a pound, I wouldn't be freaked out to over-exercise and under-eat, which is basically what I'm doing. I guess I need to maybe not be getting on the scale every day.
I'm going to repeat what you just said to me so you can hear how outrageous.
I know.
No, because this is really important. What you just said, and I don't know if you even realized you said this, you said the scale was your way of keeping you accountable. Because when you binge, the scale will eventually get to a point in which you get so high so fast that that will tell you, okay, now it's time to stop binging. And you're using the scale as a way to gauge when your binge needs to stop, rather than, hey, how do we not binge in the first place? The scale isn't a tool meant to be used to say, okay, time to stop binging now, let's completely restrict and go the opposite way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I outrageously respect the honesty and the objectivity. I think that you literally, not literally, I think you just almost look down on yourself and your actions and habits and mindset from like a different perspective than you have before, because uh-huh. that was an outrageously accurate and unbelievably honest account of how you use the scale.
Yeah.
I doubt you've voiced that before in a way that you're like, this is going to sound crazy.
Yeah, because I was feeling like it was going to come, and I'm like, this sounds nuts. This is crazy.
The scale can be a wonderful tool when you use it properly. But when you're using the scale as a measure of when you can say, okay, now it's time to stop binging so that I can completely restrict myself until my next binge, the scale has now become the middleman between binging and restricting. And once you get to a low enough point, I bet it probably goes the other way. It's like, cool, so I hit a low. Now yeah. I'm going to reward myself with the pretzels right. or whatever. And then, you know what? Fuck it. Now that I had the pretzels again, I'm just going to go completely off track. And I'm going to, I know I'm not going to eat them in a couple of days when that scale tells me. And that's the scale. Is that
that's really exactly what's, yeah. And then that's been the last month, right? So it's been, it actually started with when I completed my half marathon. So not even a month. So maybe like a couple of weeks where I've been doing this. No, it's probably about a month.
Now, anyone who follows me on Instagram will know that I'm a big proponent of using the scale appropriately and not just avoiding it because you might have a bad relationship with it. You have overcome what most people struggle to overcome in terms of working out was really hard for you. And sometimes going to the gym is very, very hard for people. You're not that at that point anymore. Mm-hmm. Stepping on the scale is torture for some people. The idea of getting on the scale is because they're so nervous for what they're going to see on it. You've gone the other way. The pendulum swung the complete opposite way now, where the idea of not working out for you is oftentimes the exact same. It's harder for you not to work out than it is for you to work out.
Yep.
It is probably harder for you not to step on the scale than it is for you to step on the scale. It is harder for you not to count your calories than it is to count your calories, right? And these are, it sounds like they're the complete opposite problems, but they're not. It's actually the exact same problem, just in the opposite direction.
Opposite direction, yeah.
Now, this is very common. Like, it's very, and a lot of people go from this. They go from being on one extreme to like going through the middle line and like figuring, wow, they hit like a sweet spot where like, wow, I'm exercising and I'm eating well and this is great. Until all of a sudden where it's like, they go a little bit too far. And then they take it to the complete opposite end. And one of my favorite sayings that I've ever said is, sometimes in order to understand how to be balanced, you have to go through periods of unbalance. And what you have come to right now is a very important crossroads in your life. Because you finally reached a point where you're at the edge of the other way and you're ready to say, I've had enough. Like, I need, you said, I need to exercise less. I need to be able to have a better relationship with food. This isn't what I want my kids to have. This isn't what I want to rule my life. Before this point, you might have known it a little bit, but you weren't ready to actually address it. This is a very important point in your life because you finally reached the edge and you said, okay, I need to go back to the middle now. And now the best part is you can find your balance. You can find the balance of healthy eating without guilt when you indulge. You can find the balance of an appropriate workout schedule that you enjoy, but it doesn't, you don't overdo it. You can use fitness and nutrition as a way to enhance your life, not rule your life. This is what you can get to right now. The most difficult part, just like it was the most difficult time for you to start working out, just the beginning of it to start, it's going to be the most difficult for you to now scale back a little bit. But once you do it and you stick to it, it's within 30 days, you're going to feel like a completely different person, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally, because you're going to like see so many other things like are going to open up to you. It's literally like glasses are going to be like, or like the blindfold is taken off. You're going to see so much more opportunity. You're going to feel better. You're going to have less stress. You're going to have less anxiety. And I one day you and I are going to get together and we're going to go to the gym and we're going to have a workout together and we're going to listen to this podcast back and you're going to be like, oh my God, remember when I said that I wasn't feeling anxious in those moments? Like, oh my, I didn't even realize how anxious I actually was so much of the time. And, I'm very, very excited for this. And to go back to what you were saying in terms of starting with nutrition, I think it's a great place to start. But let's, before we get to nutrition, let's talk about the scale. Just to basically cover that. Do you think at this point in your life, it's smart for you to step on the scale every day?
No. No. And it's funny because I have notes in my phone. You just reminded me, even with the nutrition, of some goals, some things I wanted to work toward from about a month ago. And I remembered the number one thing was to break up with the scale, both scales, the food scale and the body weight scale. You know, I've been tracking my nutrition for so long. Like, I know what 70 grams of chicken looks like.
Yep.
I know what 100 grams of rice looks like. I don't need to be doing it anymore. And I know that my body performing in the gym every day is the goal, regardless of what weight it is. You know what I mean? That's my goal. All of those things. I mean, going back, it's almost like when I started, I had so much of a healthier mentality at overweight because I didn't give a crap. I didn't care as much as I do now. And it's like, you don't see that coming. You're like, you know, like, how are you more comfortable 30 pounds overweight with the scale? You know what I mean? Without all the, like, and the closer you get, the more, I don't know, the harder it really has become. And you just don't see it coming.
You're hitting on a very under-discussed, misunderstood point. And we hear this a lot in terms of people think that losing weight is the hard part. And losing weight is very difficult. What's even more difficult is maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just explained is, you absolutely cared about the scale and you did not feel happy when you were at your heaviest and you weren't happy, you weren't comfortable. It's almost easier to look in hindsight and imagine, well, it was easier then. What's interesting is, and this happens with a lot of people who have, they have severe, like either disordered relationships with food or they overexercise. They often wish they could not care.
Uh-huh.
They wish that they could have a slice of pizza without caring about the number of calories. They wish that they could not feel like they have to work out every day, because what a stress relief that would be to not give a fuck. And that's why, one reason why it's so difficult to maintain, because when you are so neurotic and so obsessive compulsive with it, you can only live that life for so long before you just say, fuck it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why people go up and down and up and down. Now, you happen to be one of the most determined and strong-willed, and tell me if I'm wrong, probably stubborn motherfuckers in the world, right? Like, you're just not going to quit like, you're not going to give up, at least not without a fucking fight where you're scratching and clawing and, like...
100%.
And...
100%.
And listen, that comes through in every aspect of how you how you talk, in terms of how you interact, in terms of the success that you've had. And now you have to be stubborn and strong-willed with your desire to live a happier, healthier life, which means, for you, living a healthier life means exercising less. For you, living a happier, healthier life means stop fucking counting every fucking calorie going in your mouth. Being able to enjoy foods with your family, with your friends, with yourself, without the anxiety that comes along with it. And I think the first place to start is the scale. I think you have to get that motherfucker out. And anyone who's followed me on Instagram knows I'm a big proponent of the scale.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know who said it, there's a really smart person who said, to have two almost completely contradictory beliefs is a very, very important ability to have. In terms of, on one hand, I could say it's very important to have a good relationship with the scale. On the other hand, I can also recognize in somebody else that you need to get the fucking scale out of there.
Yeah.
There is no one size fits all. There is no, like, everybody needs to weigh themselves. There is no, like, this is what you, like, clearly, right now in your life, doesn't mean forever, but right now, the scale has no part in your life. Because, like it or not, it will not cause you to, but it will be more likely to contribute to patterns and behaviors that you want to eliminate right now. And once you've spent time improving your nutrition and relationship with food, and once you've spent time reducing your exercise and being able to have a better overall healthy lifestyle, if you decide to bring the scale back in, you can in the future. I doubt you'll need to, really. I don't think that you will need to. I think that most people who really, really, really need the scale are people who struggle with maintaining a healthy body weight at all, in terms of, like, they consistently are becoming very overweight, and they mm-hmm. consistently, and I don't think that you're going to struggle with that again. I very honestly believe that. I think your biggest struggle for the next 30 to 90 days is going to be, hey, fucking relax.
Yeah.
Take a nap. Take a fucking nap. Like, chill. Go go watch some stand-up comedy and laugh. Like, go hang out with a friend and eat some fucking cheese and wine. Like, go just live your life. Because when you are 90 years old and you're shitting your diaper, you're not going to look back and say, oh my God, I'm so glad that I counted every fucking calorie in that quinoa salad. You're not going to be happy you did that. You mm-hmm. will look back and regret not enjoying every single moment with your kids. You will look back and regret that possibly even showing them behaviors that you wouldn't want them to take on. You will regret not being able to enjoy yourself with your husband. These are all things that I guarantee, and you know, you're not, like, this will lead to regret, and that's what you need to focus on going into this, is why it is so important to you to make these changes. Because if you don't now, and if you allow your emotions in the moment, the ones urging you get those 20,000 steps, the ones urging you to count these calories, if you give in to those emotions and allow them to dictate your actions, to perpetuate your neuroticisms and your obsessive compulsive behavior, it might feel sort of good in the moment, but not even really, and it definitely won't feel good long term. Whereas the first time that you throw the scale out, that you have a meal, a high quality meal, a nutritious meal that you don't weigh and you enjoy, you are going to feel so accomplished and so happy. And from that moment, that is when you will start to, my model of motivation, no one just gets motivated. You first get motivated from taking an action step. And that action step is the hardest one. Your action step is eliminate the scale that you step on, get the fucking food scale out of your house. And it doesn't mean change everything you're eating. It just means do what you're already doing, just without the outrageous neurotic measurements of it, and start with the nutrition. I think the nutrition is the best place to begin. Get the scales out. No more weighing yourself. No more weighing your food. And just eat food like a fucking human. Just eat like you're...
That's so funny you say that, because that's, in my mind, I've told myself that exact thing. I just want to be a regular human.
Yeah. I get it. Isn't it funny how it's just like, do you feel like a little bit of a stress relief right now? Just like a weight off your shoulders?
I do. And it's, like I said, like I know all of this, right? Like I know that this is what I need to do, because I feel it. I feel like it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, enough now, right? Like you did the thing and enough. It's time to start, you know, being a normal human. But yeah, hearing you, the way that you say it, it feels like a relief, you know, it really does.
So what is the first thing you're going to do?
Panic.
now like the feeling of stress relief is gone, and all of a sudden, what's the first thing I'm going to do? What is the number one thing you're going to do? Like the first thing you're going to do when we get off the phone?
Throw out the scales.
You are literally going to put them in the trash.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
And you're going to take a picture of them in the trash. And you're going to put them in your trash bin. And you're going to send me that picture.
Do you see how terrified my face is right now?
I wish that this podcast was actually a video so everyone could see it. But yeah, but so talk to me. Whenever I'm feeling anxious or nervous or terrified, like I just speak it out loud. Why are you feeling so anxious or terrified? See, now you're like, it's so fucking stupid. I shouldn't be terrified, right?
I really shouldn't.
Well, why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
This is a very important exercise. When we're in our head, we're all emotion. When we verbalize what's going on, it becomes logic. And when we have anxiety and fear, we're all up here with all of these swimming thoughts that seemingly create a problem. But once we try and verbalize it, this happens a lot of times with our friends, like maybe when we're younger and we're dating and like your boyfriend or girlfriend pissed you off and like you want to explain it to your friend, you're like, oh yeah, it's this is going to sound so silly, but it's like in your head, you're livid at them. But as soon as you try and verbalize it, you're like, I'm a fucking idiot. They didn't do anything wrong. And that's why, like, I wanted you to tell me, why does throwing your scale out terrify you? And if it doesn't anymore, talk to me about it. Like, are you gonna throw those things out when we're off the phone? Speak. Tell me.
I will. It's what I need to do.
Why do you need to do it? Why do you need to throw them out?
Because it's not serving me, right? They're not serving me. They're not doing me any good. They're doing more harm than they are good at this point.
Why? How are they doing more harm than good?
Because they're causing me anxiety.
Why?
They're stressing me out. I don't know.
Yes, you do. Do you want to be 90 years old, like meticulously tracking your quinoa salad?
No, I don't.
Why are these things doing more harm than good? Tell me, like, what about these numbers is doing more harm than good?
I mean, they're running my life.
That's
for
it.
Me.
That's it.
They're running my life. They're 100%. They're running my life. You're right.
I'm not right. You're the one that said it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. They are. I mean, it's just blowing my mind right now because I'm thinking of all the things that over the last 7 months I've been so freaking proud of, you know, the times, you know, my kids got soccer and my husband brings home pizza and I don't eat it. I eat my prepped food that I weighed and meticulously measured. And I was proud. And I still am to a certain point. Like if I ate pizza the same number of times that my husband ate pizza, I would be 180 pounds again. Hands down.
Yes.
But there are times that I needed to just eat the fucking pizza and not worry about, and that's why I need to get rid of the scale, is because I'm going to regret when I, at some point, probably sooner rather than later, that I didn't eat the pizza with my kid, that I ate chicken, rice, and broccoli in a bowl, and I didn't go out for ice cream with them, or I did and I sat there looking sad. And that's what it is. Like, I don't need to do it every single time, but I need to do it sometimes and not feel bad about it. But it's crazy because it literally is all the things that I was like, yeah, look what I did. I look what I accomplished. I look at my willpower, right? Like, look at how strong I was when the pizza came in, when the potato chips came in. Like, I didn't need that.
No.
And now it's the thing that I'm fighting to have back.
Now, there's a lot to discuss and unpack here. To be fair, you went from a lifestyle in which saying no to the pizza was a win. That was a win when you used to just say, ah, fuck it, whatever, like, I don't care, to a lifestyle in which you, the vast majority of your food was more whole, minimally processed, higher nutrient dense, and like you're maintaining a very healthy body weight now. One of my most popular Instagram posts and also YouTube videos ever, I said the quote, this is probably one of my most popular quotes ever, and it's interesting that you use pizza, because I use pizza in my quote as well. I said, for one person, progress is saying no to the pizza because they need to practice self-control and they need to focus more on better quality food on a regular basis. For another person, progress is saying yes to the pizza without feelings of guilt or anxiety or shame or feeling like they need to do something in order to make up for
it. Yeah.
That is literally one of my most popular, if not my most popular quote, and you just described it perfectly, and you are the living, you are the embodiment of that in terms of you started on one end, you have now come to the other, and now it's time to find your balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it's time to find, you are one extreme, and now you're on the other extreme, and you know what both sides feel like, and you know you don't want to go back to, you don't want to be on either one. You don't want to go either way. So now what's the option? You already did a fuck ton of work to get from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
You only got to go halfway back. It's just halfway back. And that is simply by starting, like you said, giving up your scales. Giving up. Fuck the fucking scale. It's not doing anything for you. Like you said, the numbers are ruling your life for no fucking reason. Give those up. And from there, I think everything's going to start to fall into place. I don't even necessarily want to create more nutrition guidelines or more like exercise rules yet. I think what we can do is we'll call it 30 to 60 days, you and I will get on another call and we'll discuss where you're at.
That would be amazing.
I think then all we have to do right now is don't you fucking dare step on the scale and don't you fucking dare weigh your fucking quinoa salad. That's it. I don't care what you eat. I don't care, if I know anything from speaking with you, is that you're not going to use this as an excuse to go off an all-out bender. What I almost guarantee will happen is you're going to focus more on eating high-quality food, and when you do indulge, because you're not tracking your weight and using that as a gauge, and because you're not it's going to be much more moderate portions. And what you said at the beginning, where you said, I can't do that, I bet all of a sudden you will become a flexible dieter who can enjoy a slice of pizza or a couple of chips or a couple of cookies and then get back on track, because you're not allowing those numbers and emotions to dictate your actions. And lo and behold, I would put money on you becoming a very flexible, enjoyable dieter who can include fitness as part of your life rather than making fitness your entire life, simply by distancing yourself from the meaningless numbers and allowing yourself to use the habits you've created over the years as intuitively as you can. And the only way you can do this intuitively is by learning as much as you've learned, and by putting as much time and as much effort into this as you've done. I think a lot of people try and become intuitive before they know what the fuck intuitive means. Like, you know now. Like, you know what you need to do. It's funny, one of my favorite quotes from a good friend of mine, I'm not a great business person, but like, one of my friends is a tremendous business person, and he said, you know, there's a point in life where making more money will help you. And there's another point in life in which making more money causes more problems. It's the same thing with the scales and calories and tracking. There's a point in which weighing yourself and measuring and being aware of how much you're eating can help you. And there's another point in which it will do more harm than good. It will cause more problems. And once you've reached that point, now you can scale back and you can just go right to the middle. And I'm super excited to see what happens. I don't think we need to make any nutrition guidelines. I don't think we need to make any exercise guidelines yet. I think just get rid of the scales, and that's where we start. What do you think?
I think that that's awesome, but it does bring up a question that I have, is that part of me wonders if some of that binging could be the result of just being freaking under, like, just hungry. So could I, like, give me back the scale? No, but like, could I, would it make more sense to track more food and see if that helps? Do you know what I'm saying? Versus jumping from meticulously tracking to going to this, like, well, let's just intuitively eat, seems a little free.
I'm not saying just intuitively eat. I'm assuming that when you're tracking your food, you put all of your food on one plate and you have a meal, and you're not just like you have a meal that you sit down with. And when I'm saying intuitively eat, I'm not saying just like eat until like you're fucking however much. I'm saying use the portions that
portions that I know.
You can look at a fucking chicken and know what 70 grams of chicken looks like because you've done this meticulously. I'm not saying just go out and like just be a hippie-ish with it and just being like, the whole intuitive eating world, like, they've taken it to an extreme. And as I said that, I was like, I shouldn't have said that phrase because it's going to be misinterpreted. When I say eat intuitively, I mean do what you do with the scales.
Without
the scales.
Without scales. Okay. That makes more sense.
That's it. Just with the portions you use with the scales, don't use the scales. You know, like, the foods that you eat, because we're not trying to change what you've done well. We're trying to prevent you from binging.
Yes.
And the binges come from when, oftentimes, when you've gotten to a low on the scale and you want to reward yourself, and then you say, fuck it. And then you keep going until you see that high on the scale. And you're like, oh, now I got to go down again. And now that you don't have that gauge to say, okay, well, now my binge has to stop, is you're going to be like, hey, I'm going to have this slice of pizza like a human being. And then I'm done with this slice of pizza because I'm going to get back on track, because I'm not going to be gluttonous, and because I don't really want to have the whole pizza, and because I know that for my goals, this isn't going to be helpful. And that's it. And this wouldn't work for other people who haven't gotten to the level that you're at. But for where you are and for what you know and for all the knowledge that you have and for where you are in a readiness state for you to say, this is the change you need to make. There is not a doubt. I have a feeling you know it too. The fact that you won't have the scale to fall back on is going to allow you to become a flexible dieter.
Yeah, it's good. It is. Absolutely. No, it is. Definitely. I agree.
good. Because you're right. You're right. You're 100% right. Do you have any other questions, anything that you want to leave with?
No, I mean, I think basically that was like the biggest thing that I had for you was just that, you know, things that need work. Like I wrote a list of like what I feel like I've nailed, what I feel like is just amazing. And my things that need work is moderation with food and exercise, binging.
That's it.
So, yeah, I mean, those two things, and I feel like we covered it, and I'm excited, and I feel like there are going to be some huge changes.
I know for a fact there will. I'm so confident in this. I'm so confident in this that if you knew how confident I was, there would be not a doubt in your mind, and I have a feeling there is very minimal, if any, doubt in your mind right now. I have a feeling you have like a renewed sense of strength and power.
Yeah.
Because before the scales were dictating it. Now the scales are gone. They're going to be in the trash can in a few minutes and I'm going to get a picture of it. And when the scales are out, you're in charge. It's not those dictating your emotions. It's not those dictating your actions. It's you and everything that you know. And so what we're going to do is in 30 days or 60 days, we're going to hop on another call and we're going to see how everything's going. And I have a feeling just that one change of no weighing is going to lead to other changes. And I'm not going to say what. I don't know. I think it's going to lead to other changes. And then we'll decide if we want to add more changes after that or if you're just in a fucking great spot and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But that's where we'll start. 30 days.
That's awesome.
No weighing, no measuring. Throw those fuckers out. Send me the picture. And we'll start there.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
I'm excited. You happy?
I am.
Good.
I am. My husband's going to be happy too. He's getting real sick.
and I'll leave you with this. There are going to be difficult times. This feeling of very, very almost relaxed and stress-free, it will not last forever. There will be difficult times because you're breaking strong, strongly built, strongly intertwined habits and neuroticisms. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to feel anxious. It's okay. Anytime you do, talk out loud to yourself why you feel anxious. Say it, like literally, why am I feeling anxious right now? I'm feeling anxious right now because I'm making this meal with my quinoa salad and pomegranate and fucking broccoli and I can't weigh it. And that sounds so fucking ridiculous that I can't believe I just said it out loud. And then you're going to be more calm. And when you voice your concerns like that, it takes the emotion out of it and allows you to be more logical with it. And then you can balance your emotion with logic that way and make the right decision. So don't hate yourself or get down on yourself for the tough times. You're a human. It's normal.
Yeah.
Just be an adult about it. Speak about it. Have a conversation and address them like an adult. And when in doubt, always remember that one day you're going to be 90 years old with shit in your diaper.
Yeah.
And what are you going to regret at that point in your life? And do what you're going to look back on with pride, not what you're going to look back on with regret. Because when you make that decision, you will always be happier and healthier for it.
It's 100% right. 100% right.
Cool.
Yep.
Amazing. So, thank you for getting on the phone. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you I'm excited. So, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it right now.
And you're going to send me that picture.
I'm going to send you a picture.
Good. Have a wonderful night. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Kim, thank you so much for coming on and having a wonderful discussion with me. I really appreciate it. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a rating on iTunes. Again, thank you so much to everyone who's done that so far. It has been incredibly helpful. And last reminder, if you'd like to sign up for the Calorie Cycling for Fat Loss 30-Day Challenge, you can do that at jordansyatt.com, J-O-R-D-A-N-S-Y-A-T-T.com. Talk to you soon.